Well, it's so good to have you here, and thank you so much. You know, just before I get started, I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. It's Sunday, I know, but you're taking time out of your schedule. You're making a sacrifice to make sure that you are here as a body of believers to come and worship the Lord. You may have some aches, you may be sleeping, you might have worked late, you might have gotten certain things going on in your life that would keep you from coming to church. And there's a lot of good reasons why some people can't make it, and I totally get that. And we're praying for those people that are sick right now, that are homebound right now, that may be watching online. I want you to know we're thinking about you and praying for you as well. But you're here today for a divine reason. You're here today because God's brought you here to hear something and to remind you of something about yourself and what God expects from your life. And last week, I started a brand new series on becoming a supernatural hero. And last week, I shared with those that were here that Hollywood has skewed the whole idea, has messed up this whole idea of what a hero actually is supposed to look like. We see it on TV, we read it through comic strips or through books or through the Marvel series and all these different things of what Hollywood thinks and labels what an actual hero looks like. But God has called each one of us to be something a little bit different than just a hero. But to be a supernatural hero. Supernatural. Doesn't that sound pretty awesome? Supernatural. To me, it sounds great. To me, it sounds amazing. To me, and maybe even to you, it sounds maybe too good to be true. But Psalm 16:3 says, "The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them." The godly people, the people that are born again, the people that are trying and seeking after the Lord are the true heroes on earth today. And in a dark world, we as Christians, as the church, get to bring the salt and the light. We get to be the supernatural heroes for people that are living in a dark world, that is looking for hope and trying to find their purpose and their plan in their life. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God and have overcome them." And I shared last week, and we started getting good at reciting this verse. Because he that is in you is greater than he that is what? In the world. He that is in you. And I've said this probably 1,000 times as I preach, it's the same Holy Spirit that was working through the Word of and through these people that we read about every day, is the same Holy Spirit that is working in your life and working through your life today. And don't ever forget that. We are still living out the book of Acts. It's not over until God says it's over for you. We are not to just sit in our pews. We are not to just sit here and do nothing for God. A supernatural hero does not sit. It's seeking, it's looking to become supernatural, to use its gifts. That would be a shame, wouldn't it? That if you watched a movie about some hero and Superman never flew, he never used his gifts, Batman never did it, the Black Panther, all the ones that we look at and that you think about, if they never used their gifts, that would be a really, really boring movie. It would. We'd like, come on, do something, fight. Throw something at somebody. Do something. But we're always looking for some action. Matter of fact, I don't like dialogue in a movie. If they talk too much, just get on with the fighting. Right? Aren't we just ready for a battle scene? Just get fighting. I don't want to hear it. And you know what? I think about with God, he wants us to just take action. Do something. Show your gift. Every single one of you are gifted to do something. Every single person, we're not just supposed to just come and sit and think, oh, it's only that person or a staff member of a church or a deacon that knows how to serve or to do something. It's so far from that. So far from it. You were all designed. And we talked about last week in 2 Samuel 23 that David spoke in 2 Samuel 23. He could talk about anything, but instead he talked about his mighty man. These were some of the last words that he ever shared, it says in 2 Samuel 23. And he talked about his mighty men. He talked about one guy that was able to fight against 800 men. Have you ever done that before? You might have felt like you were going against 800 things in your life. And you know what? You came through because God was with you supernaturally. The Holy Spirit is powerful. He didn't stop 2,000 years ago. He's still working in your life right now. And you got to wake up and believe that. You got to say, all right, let's see what you can do, God. Have you ever woken up and said, let's see what you got, God. Let's see how you're going to work through my life today. And then there was another situation where he took Eleazar and he got, and he was so tired. Have you ever been so tired where you don't even feel like you can do anything? You don't even want to vacuum. You don't even want to clean. You don't even want to cook. You don't feel like you have the strength to do anything. You just kind of want to give up or give in or give over and just stop. I'm sure this guy, Eliezer, he was feeling this way. He couldn't even hold on to the sword. He had no more strength. He had no more might. But supernaturally, God stuck his hand on the sword and would not let go. And he was able to conquer. Too supernatural, and it goes on and on. This is why it was recorded about these mighty men. Can I tell you, you are a mighty man and a woman of God? The same Holy Spirit that was in them is the same Holy Spirit in you. I don't care what age you are. Youth, children, that's coloring. Keep coloring, it's okay. We designed this all week, don't worry about it. God's going to work in your life. He's working in your life right now as you color. Whatever it is that you're coloring and designing and memorizing and that your parents are going to talk to you about a little bit more, and as you grow up and as you look at your parents as heroes, you're a mighty man, you're a mighty girl, you're a mighty boy of God. Don't ever forget that. So we started talking about there's three qualifying truths. There's a lot more, but I'm just going to stick with three. Last week I talked about real heroes stand alone for what is right and noble. It's not easy to stand for what is right all the time and what is noble and what is godly. But see, when you're a godly person and you're seeking godly things, you're a real hero. And today I want to talk about real heroes are willing to make sacrifices for others. That would be funny to watch a movie where they never actually helped a single soul, wouldn't it? All of them were asking for help. There's fires. There's people coming. All these people coming from different worlds. They're flying down. They're destroying buildings and people. And it's going crazy. There's anarchy going on in the cities and the civilization. The police are calling on their heroes. There's a Batman sign up in the sky. The lights going and everything's flashing. We need help. And they're like, nah, I'm busy. Nah, I really don't want to put on my uniform. No, I really don't want to do that. I don't really have the time. Did you know our world is anarchy? Did you know that we're fighting against a supernatural villain? The second most powerful being ever created is here on earth. Did you know that? Prowling around like a roaring lion waiting to devour you, 1 Peter says. But that's just a fairy tale. That's kind of like Hollywood makeup. He's just a devil with horns and a long tail. And a pitchfork. Don't forget that. Seriously, have you ever seen that? We don't want to face that. But he that is in me is greater than he that is what? In the world. And just so you know, that's not a make-believe story. That's real. And that's who we're fighting against. It's a supernatural warfare. You can read about it in Ephesians. It's not a game. It's not pretend. Matter of fact, Hollywood couldn't even come close to really what's really going on supernaturally. not on their best day. How many of you will make sacrifices for things we want for ourselves? We'll do that all day. We will make sacrifices for things that we want all day long. Not a problem. How many of us are willing to make sacrifices for others? Maybe a different story. If it's not convenient, we may not do it. If it's not free, I definitely won't do it. If it takes too much time out of my schedule, if it gets in the way of my plans, I'm probably not going to do it. Anyone is able to justify or give an excuse of why not to do something for somebody. Anyone is, including Christians. But thank God we have the church. Thank God we do have Christians, because they're the ones that are probably the best at it. If we did not have the church and the Christians, could you imagine what our world would look like? Oh my goodness. By definition, heroes sacrifice for other people, not for themselves, right? By definition, the whole idea of being a hero and the whole idea of being a godly supernatural hero is, by definition, is to not do things for yourself, but to do things for other people. That's the whole point. A supernatural hero is always seeking, always sacrificing for other people. Are you? How can you be truly great as a supernatural hero? Jesus said this way. Matthew 20:26 says this. Whoever wants to be great must become a what? A servant. He did not say that you needed to become a celebrity. He did not say you needed to be a rich man. He did not say that you needed to be a sports star. He did not say you needed to be a famous actor. He didn't say that you needed to be a president. He didn't say that you needed to be a businessman. He didn't say you needed to be the greatest YouTuber. He didn't say that you needed to be this. He said that you needed to be a great servant of God. All of these professions that I just named, you can be a servant within each one of them. And we see that. Don't we see that being modeled out through some celebrities? Don't we see that being modeled out through businessmen? Don't we see that being modeled out through lots of different professions? But you know what the ultimate job is for every single profession? It's to be a servant. In every industry, it's all about serving. If you don't know how to serve your customer right, they're going to leave. It's all about service. It's all about being sacrificial. It's all about going the extra mile. Back in biblical times, the whole idea of going the extra mile is when they came into town, the soldiers would come into town, and it was required by law for the people to take the soldiers' bags, their weapons, all their stuff, and literally go 1 mile. It was required by law to do that in Jewish customs. Citizens had to take the military that was supporting them, protecting them, had to take their stuff and go 1 mile with them. That was required. Going the extra mile means that those people said, thank you so much for serving and protecting me. I'm willing to take it another mile for you. It's what the military people do for us every day, isn't it? They go the mile, the extra mile, the extra mile, stay up a little later, and then come home and even make more sacrifices. That's why our military are the greatest heroes in the world. See, God's values are the exact opposite of today's world that many people are growing up and learning. Survival of the fittest. The whole idea of trying to reach the top of the ladder before anyone else. When we're grown, our values get screwed up and messed up because we say whoever wants to be great must be smart, must be rich, must be powerful, must be talented, must be beautiful, and it's all a what? It's a lie. I'm not that smart. I'm not rich. I'm not beautiful. I'm the very opposite of all these things, so I don't have a chance at all to become a hero in the world's standards. And we run over people to try to get to be the top. This is why so many people are frustrated. This is why so many people are wondering, I'll never become a hero. That's why there's people that maybe are going to tune out because they say, well, that will never become me. I'll never do it because I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too this. I'm too that. And we already automatically start off with the excuses. How many of you guys do that? How many of you guys look at yourself and say, oh, that can't be me? I'm the only one? Is anyone awake? See, the world tells us the more people you have waiting on you makes you great. Jesus says the more people you can serve will make you what? Great. There's a conflict of interest there, right? We got two poles. Mark 9:35, you know what Jesus did? He came and sat down with the 12 disciples. He said, let me make sure that you really understand this, 12. Listen closely, church. Listen very, very closely what Jesus just says. Sitting down in Mark 9:35, he says this. Jesus called the 12. Come on, come here. Anyone who wants to be first must be very last. Must be the very last. And a servant of all. You want to ruin a kindergarten kid's life? Watch them run to the front of the line for anything. Going outside, going to the bathroom, eating lunch, doing anything in life. Watch them. If you want to ruin their life, whoever got there first, put them in the back, and whoever's back, put them in the first. That will ruin their whole entire day. They will not understand that concept. And so, as we learn as adults, we don't learn that as well. Sometimes we forget. And I forget every time we go and have fellowship lunches. Because my wife is always in the back, and I'm always at the first. And she's like, will you wait on me? I'm like, hurry up, just sneak up here. I'm the pastor, they don't care. Matthew 20:28 goes on and says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Doesn't that sound pretty awesome? Doesn't that sound like the ultimate sacrifice? Imagine if someone saw you in harm's way, took a bullet for you. Imagine if someone came into this church and walked straight in here and wanted to take out your pastor because he's talking so long. And so we've had enough. And my great security team, which is about 15 of you guys that are probably carrying right now, take him out before he takes me out. You know what? I'm telling you right now, there will not be one day I would never forget you. I would say, you gave your life for me. Thank you so much. And I would not stop thinking about that. What if someone gave you something to help bring life to you? What if someone gave something to you to bring you life? Watch this.
Thank you.
The unsung heroes of people donating. You got it on your driver's license and said that you'd be a donator when something happens to you, that you may be able to bring life to someone else, to be able to give the most important part of your organ to someone, to give them life. And you think about what Jesus Christ did voluntarily, gave his heart, knowing that he was going to die, and gave his heart for each and every single one of us so that we may be able to live and breathe grace each and every single day. It's the greatest gift. It's the most sacrificial gift that anyone could get. And this is why Jesus is the greatest supernatural hero that we get to emulate. Hebrews 7:27 says, Jesus brought the sacrifices for the sins of all the people once and for all. And when he sacrificed himself, we're to emulate that. He modeled this at the Last Supper when he knew he was going to die. He could have said anything. He could have done anything. But you know what he's doing? He gets down, takes his robe off, and begins to wash the disciples' feet. Their smelly, stinky feet. A symbolism to go and do likewise. No one washes anyone's feet, but you want to wash someone's feet and people giving their perfume and using their hair like the woman did. Gave everything because she modeled. And you know what? She might have even modeled that even more for Jesus. And Jesus said, I love what she just did. I love what she just did. She used her hair to wipe my feet, and I'm going to use, and I'm going to wipe your feet, and I'm going to serve you. Do we treat other people like that? See, we don't have to be what Hollywood says. We don't have to be spectacular to be servants. We don't have to be perfect because we can't. Jesus calls us to be servants. You really don't have to be spectacular to bring a meal to someone when they're sick. I've had chicken and rice soup from the Edelmans twice at my house to cure me. I've had sausage, barbecue sausage and macaroni and cheese from Catherine and Sal in the middle of the night, and they ring the doorbell in the middle of the night while I was laying in bed. You don't sacrifice. It doesn't take a lot of effort to pray and say, I'm really going to pray for you, and then you email them or text them back and say, hey, I just want you to know I prayed for you. I really, really did. It doesn't make a whole lot of time. It doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It doesn't make you perfect. When you need to be able to help someone that is hurting and you can go visit someone in the hospital, you just got to give up some time. Or when you give money to someone that may need the money. Or when times are tough, you spend time with them. Or when they're homeless. We were in New Orleans and we had extra beignets that this... You know what beignets are, this, you know, powdery sugar, doughy donut type of thing that costs $50 that they sell there for some apparent reason. You get three of them. Well, anyway, we couldn't even eat it all, but what the fun part was watching the kids give this to a homeless people. Our extra pastas that we couldn't eat. Man, it's so much fun to give sacrificially. It was my favorite. As I'm going to go through this quick, is Luke 10. Will you go to God's Word and Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37? It's from Jesus, the parable of the Great Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. Let me read this. This parable of the Good Samaritan, and I want you to look at this, even though many of you guys have read this story maybe 4,000 times. I want you to look at it with fresh eyes. I wanted you to look at it with a fresh heart. I want you to look at it with an open ear. I want you to look at this in a way that you've never seen it before. I want you to put yourself in the story today. I want you to say, this is an example of me, of the great servant. I want you to put yourself in the story and see if you will be one of these people. In verse 25, it starts off in Luke chapter 10, and behold, a certain lawyer, a very, very smart man, a person that literally knows the Mosaic and the rabbinical law, knows it better than anyone else, is going to ask a very important question. And the question is going to come from the Greek word that means test or to challenge. But it's a great question. Here we go. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested in the Greek, challenged, a genuine question saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit the eternal life?" The greatest question in the world. Have you asked that question before? What should I do to inherit the kingdom of God, eternal life? He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" See, oftentimes we think the neighbor is someone that just looks like us, that feels like us, that smells like us, that acts like us. But let me tell you something. The neighbor is someone completely different than probably what you're thinking. It may be the lowly person. It may be the people that you judge against. It may be the people that you've been prejudiced against. It may be the person that we've been racist against. It may be the people that we're constantly maybe saying things, not out loud, but thinking it inside. And then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road." Now this road was notorious for robbers. "And when he saw himself, he passed on the other side. And likewise, a Levite," another godly priest, another religious person, "when he arrived at the place and came and looked and passed by the other side, but a certain Samaritan," the person that the Jews hate the very most, us being Greeks, by the way, the Samaritans were treated worse than any other Greeks. They were the worst of the worst. They were the dogs of society. And they were probably expecting in the story Jesus was going to talk about another religious person, talk about another Jewish person. But guess what? He flips the story. He flips it on and goes backwards and said, "No, now I want to show you what a real neighbor is. I want to show you what a real servant looks like. Somebody that you're not going to expect. Somebody that you don't even like yourself. Someone that you're not going to predict. I'm going to turn it around and basically say, think of your worst enemy. That is who the greatest servant is." And watch what he says. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and he bandaged his wounds." Watch all the things he's about to do. "Pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, enough money to last at least 1 week at the hotel, and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever you spend, when I come again, I will repay you even more.' So which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." And then Jesus said to him, "Go and do what? Likewise." Well, that's the hard part, isn't it? The story part's okay. But when he got to the very end and he said, "Go and do likewise," there's that action word again. Because there's so many excuses. The road is too dangerous to stop. He might be a decoy for personal robberies. I got to get to the temple to serve the Lord. I've got to get to my home, to my family. Someone better equipped should and probably will stop by. I can't get dirty, bloody, or unclean, because in the Jewish priest, they don't deal with blood, by the way. It's unholy. They don't deal with the dead. He's hopeless case. Have you ever thought of that? Person sitting on the street or dealing with some bad situation psychologically during depression. They're going through the worst of the worst. Oh, they're a hopeless case. The buzzards will get them. Somebody else will take care of them. What about this? I'm just one person. Even better, I'll pray for them. And we just think that that's going to work. What about this? He probably deserved it. He should have never gone down the road. He didn't even ask me for help. He's half dead, but he didn't ask me for help, so I'm not going to get involved. Charles Spurgeon said this, I never knew a man refused to help a poor who failed to give at least one admirable excuse. So how do we speak up to help the supernatural? We must open our eyes and look around. We must open our ears and listen for where God is speaking to us. We must open our mouths and be willing to say, here I am, here is your servant. We must be willing to open up our hearts with the right and pure motives to truly want to serve people and not serve ourselves. See, God knows, you want your reward now? Do it in front of people. You want your reward now? Let other people know. You want your reward now? Gripe about it. Complain about what you're doing. You want it eternal? You want me to work on your house? You want me to work on your mansion up there for you? You want me to add an extra rib? You want that crown? It's okay to ask for rewards. It's a biblical thing. Do you know that there's 5 crowns up there waiting? Did you know that there are rewards and loss of rewards, the recompense of what it's called? Everything that we're doing here on earth is all building for rewards. And we will take our rewards and we'll throw them at Jesus' feet. Because ultimately, He is our ultimate reward. But eternally, that is a motivation for us, is to seek after the rewards, to give those up to the feet of Christ. It's okay. But we make a decision each day. You want your reward now or you want it later on? There are a lot of people going to heaven, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know exactly. This is why we got to wait. For no eye has seen, no ears heard, no mind can even conceive what God has in store for those in Christ Jesus. But I wonder what that's going to look like. See, I believe in this new heaven and this new earth of what it's going to look like. Read the end of Revelation. It's something going to be spectacular. If and when we take our eyes off our eyes and off ourselves, you know that's a choice every single day. If and when. You will see children. You will see elderly. You will see chronically sick. You will see orphans. You will see homeless. You will see disabled. You will see people in hospitals. You will see people in living alone. You will see people in assisted living places. You will see military veterans. You will see people that are down on their luck. You will see people like you and me in the church that just need an extra 10 minutes with you, that just need an extra 10 bucks, that may just need something from you. We don't have to go far. Look beside you. Because if you know what I know in the church, there are needs. We all will fall short. We're all going to have times of need. And we need a supernatural guide and a supernatural hero to rise up and say, I'm listening and I'm here for you. It's one reason why I love our deacons and our finance team. And our musicians and our cafe people and our children's workers and our lawn crew and people that serve in Joseph's house. So many of you guys are working for free and serving and sacrificial every single day. God bless you, because your reward is coming. People like Mike and the Whiskers for Wounded Warriors are heroes. When they go and they minister, you can see pictures here where they go and minister to people in the hospitals, giving up their time, being there for the people that can't speak up for themselves or are needing extra help, are struggling with certain things in their life. Take a person like Carrie and Shelley Draper, who goes to the hospital and we put money into the jars of hope and helping children that are struggling just to even survive. And we're trying to be there for their family. And we said, there's no conditions. You don't have to be a member of our church. Matter of fact, if we never see you ever again, we are giving to you to help you. Let me ask you a personal question as I wrap up here. Is there anything that you do in your week that you are sacrificially helping or giving to others and not getting paid for? Pam Cornstubble's never taken a paycheck since 1990 from Living Hope Baptist Church. Every year I ask, are you wanting to come on staff and take a paycheck? And she says no. That's a long time, Pam. Sacrificially giving. You guys are supernatural heroes, and when I come up here and I look at you guys, I mean, it's astonishing. This is why the sermon is so easy for me to write, because I'm thinking about you guys. See, when you start something and when you finish up, will you just say to Jesus, this one's for you? When you're about to start something, and when you end something, will you just say, this one's for you, Jesus? Then you give him the glory. You don't take the glory. There's no complaint that will come out because you gave it all to him. And he supernaturally worked in your life and encouraged you and motivated you and gave you the gift to be able to accomplish what it is that he wanted to do through your life. Jesus' last words. And my last words to you. Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that we can come and we can read a story. Your story. Of what a supernatural hero looks like. And it came from the most unlikely source. It came from the one that no one would ever have expected. It came from the one that people would judge. It came from the one that people are prejudiced against. It comes from the one that would look like they are lowly, that they had nothing to offer. And you say, watch this. And maybe at times in our life, we may feel like that too. We may feel like we're too old. We may feel like we're too young. We may feel like we're too poor. We may feel like we're too rich. We may feel like we're too unhealthy. We may feel like we're not worthy. We may feel like we are too sinful. We may feel like fill in the blank. And you tell us, and you showed us, that the power of the Holy Spirit can radically change lives. And if he can use a person like this Samaritan, then he can use us. And he will use us if we'll let him. Today we're going to go and make a choice. Tomorrow we're going to wake up and we're going to make a choice. I pray that God, as I said last week, that this is not just a movie and we say, oh, I wish I had that gift. Oh, I wish I could do that like those superheroes that we just watched. See, that movie is pretend. That reality will never happen. But see, during this worship service is the real deal. Your book is not a comic book. It's not a pretend book. It's the Word of God. It's the inspired Alpha and the Omega. It's the one that changes life. And it's your voice. It's your words that speak into us. May we live by it. May we be inspired by it. And may we be, each and every one of us, supernaturally changed today. I give you this time. If there's anyone here that need to give their lives to you, I pray that they will do that today. If there's anyone here that is desired to come and to become members of Living Hope, and this is the place they want to worship and belong to and to serve, I pray that they will come. I pray that, Lord, if there's anyone here that just needs to come to the altar and pray and just get closer to you, I pray that they will do that at this time. And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.